Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
The cat wheel arrives today, and I hope I'm not setting myself up for disappointment. Because but cat wheel, I don't think I told you this. It's a huge wheel.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Okay,
I saw a video of one recently. They're hilarious. Yeah.
And the cat just goes ballistic on it. Just, you know, looks like a cheetah.
Yeah.
I look at that thing and like, my cat's running around, but because we have like half carpet, half wood flooring, mm-hmm. you know, basically every morning and in the evenings, Tokyo Drift is reenacted in our house. Cat style. So
I love that.
I don't know what I'm gonna have to do to get them, you know, comfortable on it, but I'm hoping they'll just like go to town.
Well, really quick, the reason I know about them is because I saw like an Instagram reel of a cat sitting on this giant wheel, and the cat is just sitting there meowing and waits for the human to like do it, and then when the human stops, the cat stops. So the cat's like requires the person to be a part of it, which is so like what you don't want and what a dog would do. It's exactly what Bert would do.
Yeah, but did you see that? I think I saw the same clip. Did you see the second part where at night the cat, like there's night vision camera on it, and the cat just goes like crazy insane.
Oh, that's so funny.
Like its ears are back and it's
you needed this thing this week.
Yes.
Cats have been all over you on every call this week. It's funny.
I know. I know. I'm so excited. All right. Let's get into our podcast here and into the huddle. What's been top of mind for you this week?
Yeah. So it hasn't officially been announced yet, but I was asked to join the programming team of the Agile 2025 conference, which is pretty cool and kind of exciting in a moment where the Agile Alliance is now merging with the Project Management Institute. It's like these two big PM organizations come with very different ways of kind of thinking and operating, combining. And I have lots of thoughts about it. We'll talk more about it for sure.
Is that official? But... like they're doing it? Like,
oh yeah, it's done. It's actually done. And
okay.
It's a part of the conversation in the organizers group that I'm in. And we're supposed to be confirming three speakers this week. One of which I think is going to be you.
Yeah, that's I've got to finish my submission later today.
I should mention too, the track that I'm chairing is called What If They Don't Want Us? And it's basically reacting to organizations who are eliminating Agile roles and what happens with the Agile role. So this is our opportunity to really talk about the themes that you and I talk about. It's team angle, right? It's communication, mm-hmm. collaboration, mm-hmm. culture. It's the things that impact teams that are divorced of any process. They're in fact more important than process. And that's kind of why they asked me to be a part of it, because I'm bringing this different perspective to the conversation. I've never been to an Agile conference. I've been an Agile proponent in the past, and I've been very clear with this organizing committee, and they're like, that's why we want you here. So I'm excited. I think that's pretty cool.
I'm just wondering if is the conference schedule more rigid than most, right?
It's a huge conference. I'm programming one track. We're picking nine speakers. It's a three-day show. So I don't think it's rigid. I think they do more workshop-y.
Okay.
In terms of like the conference, it seems really cool. And they do, like, I've picked up from Dave Pryor. Hi, Dave. Hope you're listening. Like, I've picked up ideas for conference programming from him in the past. And he speaks really highly of this conference. So
cool. I'm excited. I hope, I'm crossing fingers that I'm accepted, but it sounds really cool. I think more importantly, it's nice that I know I got to get onto the things, but it's nice that, to see organizations transforming, like changing, like, you know, hey,
pivot.
world's changing. We need to change. Let's do this together, as opposed to trying to, trash each other. So
In
that's nice to see.
positive ways, like not eliminating other important initiatives, but finding
Right.
alternative ways of, advancing their mission. So yeah,
Right.
really cool. All right, let's get into the review. So we've got a lot to talk about today. First, team angle topics that we came up this week were really about team transparency and communication, kind of in terms of documenting decisions, talking about next steps. So I think a couple of pretty valuable articles that we published this week on team angle. But the focus of conversation this week is going to be on your reaction post, Only Teams Can Drive Real Transformation. So why don't you kind of tee that up for us?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I want to thank Sean Wood. Sean, if you're listening, thank you. He sent me an email earlier this week saying like, "Hey, have you seen this?" And so I really appreciate you helping me keep a lookout for these things. It's a report from McKinsey. And take that with a grain of salt, or do with it what you may. But what I thought, like immediately when I finished the article, I thought, number one, this validates everything that you and I have been talking about for eons, right? About how teams are so important; they're so vital to a company culture, at that team level. And how leaders of teams need way more support, training, mentoring, care, like name it. They need more of it than they're typically given. And that's not just a big enterprise companies. That's it in every company. That's based off of our hard-earned, hands-on experience of having to deal with the consequences of leaders not given that type of attention and that kind of priority. So the report goes into and it talks about transformation. And I kind of when I hear you talk about the title, I almost want to like change that because transformation to me is a word that gets thrown around the enterprise like a lot, right? And I talk about that in the article, but also talk about transformation is essentially organizational change. And so that could be, we're merging departments, or the company's going in a different direction, or we're getting rid of agile and we're going to do something different. All of these kinds of changes, they will all have big impacts. How they are implemented, however, can be very different. Very much like top down or bottom up. And what McKinsey was showing is, through there's evidence to show that if you want to make the change stick, that you do it at the team level. It goes into essentially kind of how to go about that, and there's different models. There's a whole section in this report that I really didn't get into. Maybe that'll be like for a future article, but talking about how, and I think this is more at larger scale companies, but finding teams where they can ingest that type of change and likely have a higher success rate. They can kind of lead by example. What was more important to me is going in and talking about the leadership and how leaders need to be given more skills, more mentorship, more care, more support. Right. Top down transformation, that it always, I shouldn't say it always. Typically, for success, you need some kind of C-suite person, kind of guiding that, supporting it, and driving that initiative for it to work top down. Same thing, even at the team level, is those team leaders may not need the heavy hand that comes from that kind of top down approach, but they still need a lot more attention and direction and care than they're typically given. And so that's kind of that plus the one size fits all solutions, just again, and more validation of these things don't work, right? And especially at the team level, if you're going to focus on making change or modifications at the team level, you've got to take it team by team. There's the company may have its own culture, but teams have their own version of that culture, right? And so whatever the transformation or the change is, it has to account for that. And you know, kind of like what you were saying earlier about how team angle is it's not stuck to one framework or one process. This is more around you know, how people be human towards each other,
The
not so
core of
much like,
operations, really.
not so much, hey, when do we start our next work stream and what are the ceremonies and things like that. And there's a really good reason for that is because you and I have seen time and time again how when you try that, wherever you're going, bottom, top, side by side, whatever that approach is, trying to take a framework and saying this is how you will do, that rarely succeeds. And it rarely gets to the outcomes that are intended. So I'm curious, what in your experience, you know, adding your story to this, what's the first red flag you see when someone's trying to make organizational change, and you just look at it and say, this is going to fail?
Well, to me, what I've seen is the immediate red flag is leadership who tries to do it in a vacuum. And that's kind of the point that you're making here, right? Like transformation starts on the team level. If you start at the leadership level and you kind of mandate how this is going to happen without having some form of open communication with the people who it actually affects, or at least the leadership that's closer to, or middle management that's closer to the people on the ground level, to get some buy-in to make sure that the way that you're approaching it is sound. That's a huge red flag. Then I think after that, it's has the intent of this been communicated? Have we implemented the right tools and boundaries and guidance for people? Have we trained people on this change? Like, there's so much that I think people bypass because they think, well, we're making this change. It's like a flipping a switch. No, it's never flipping a switch when it comes to organizational change.
No. I think back to an event you and I had to work through, a very awkward event where huge organizational change was introduced to the entire company through a, and I kid you not, a 4 foot long post in Basecamp. Right. And it's like that was like the first introduction. No, hey, we're thinking about making some change or anything. It was just people came to work one day. I think it was on a Friday morning and they read a very, very long read in Basecamp. And yeah, that to me is a red flag, you know.
Again, it's like it invokes this when you're on the receiving end of that, and you are invested in your work and the culture and the company and its mission, and then you're told this is how we're doing it from now on, and there's no conversation about it. There's not even a verbal, like an attempt at like a conversation, verbally. That's yeah, it's gonna fall flat right away because right away you're just making people feel alienated in a situation and you're backing them into a corner. And nobody wants to feel like that.
Well, and then I have another question for you, but before I get to that, it also leaves so much up to the individual interpretation of,
So true.
right, what is said. Like you talk about in a vacuum too, is now all of a sudden instead of having one interpretation being communicated by the original author, you know, the person behind the change, whatever. Now you've got 30, 40, 50, 10,000 different interpretations of what did that mean? And then what I also find very interesting too are the follow-up questions that people come up with. You know, things that even if you think you've thought of all of the different things, you know, responses to this, you know, even slightest change. And it's always fascinating to me how many new questions people come up with based on their observations, interpretation, and therefore their assumptions, right?
And their experience, you know, you can't discount the fact that someone even in the most junior role in your organization is impacted by the change and they have ideas or even feelings about the way their role or their work is impacted. And so while I think this is where we're a little bit different, like I'm sounding like, hey, share, democratize stuff. Like that's not really what I'm saying. I'm very much like decisions like that need to be kept with leadership. I think you should be doing your due diligence and having conversations, and you hold the reins in terms of the decision and planning and how things are rolled out. But I think what I'm trying to say is like getting a little bit of feedback is a good thing. I think you tend, at least in our work, you tend to go for more feedback. Let's have a bunch of people read this. Let's have like get feedback. And I'm more like, let's roll with it, right? Like, let's just get just enough and just go with it. It's a little bit different in the context of the work that we're doing. But I'm just curious if that, like, does that resonate for you in the organizational context? Like, as a leader, when
Oh
would you
yeah.
bring people in?
I would I well I've actually seen that where it's taken. How many times have you and I been in a group where decisions were made, good decisions were made, the leadership had a healthy conversation, sometimes debate about the thing we were going to do. And then somebody on the leadership team goes to get solicit more feedback. And before you know it, it takes everything right back to square one, right? So I think that there's something to be said about bringing in more voices, but it has to be in this case with change. It has to be like with some very specific questions, not just open-ended of what do you think about this? Because that's just another version of leaving things up to an individual's interpretation based off the only context that they have in that moment, right? They wouldn't have had the benefit of the many conversations and the work that led to the idea to do that. So, when it comes to making operational organizational change, yeah, you keep it small, but that kind of leads up to my next question is, you've made the decision. Now, how do you roll that out? How do you involve the team leadership so that you can, work with them and empower them to go implement this change, introduces a team, implement the change and, and drive towards success.
I think to kind of just tack on to like to segue a little bit from where you were going, I think part of this and my answer to this is setting very clear expectations of people's roles in a transformation, right? So whether it's at that early stage and you're just having conversations that are kind of research to help you make informed decisions, you end up talking to people, and the minute that you involve someone, no matter what level in the organization they're in, they're going to feel some level of ownership in that conversation. And I think you have to be very clear with those people about what their role is in decision making, why you're soliciting their input or feedback, and how it will be used. Because the worst thing that I've seen happen is leaders who invite people to the table for a conversation, then exclude them from the decision-making process, making those people then feel ignored or not listened to. And then they disagree with a decision and they're angry about it, right? So to me, that's a problem. And if I were a leader, I would have a very, if I were a leader, if I were in the situation, I would have a very clear plan about how we're making decisions, who are our kind of stakeholders within the decision-making process, and then how we're socializing ideas or change within the organization, and how we're working at each level in the organization to make sure that people understand the reason why we're going through the change, what their role is in the change, how they'll be supported through the change, and how we'll have open dialogue and communication to make sure that everyone lands in a place that is actually transformational.
I was thinking about as I was listening to you to your response, that last piece about open dialogue. I feel like that's a whole like system in itself that doesn't get a lot of attention and one that could actually use a framework of There's an introduction phase of this is coming. Gather feedback, bring that, or what do people say on your team? And for leaders to be able to bring back that feedback to the, whatever the higher leadership is, to be able to work on that as kind of like a first team effort of, okay, these things are being said, and how do you respond to all of them? Even getting into, what are the emergent themes that are coming from this? In other words, to have a feedback loop built into the introduction of change so that it's not a, okay, this is happening, I got to say my piece, and then we're gonna go, right? That there's at least one round of kind of, Q&A, feedback and Q&A kind of built
There
into
has to
that.
be a commitment to receiving that feedback and actually listening to and responding to it. And I think when you do that, you're more successful. I know we need to wrap up, but I also just want to mention, like, I think a more empathetic approach, a more kind of servant leadership approach works better in this instance than the kind of command and control, holding all the cards with just an executive team. Like, that's just not going to work.
Yeah, that's a good insight. The servant leadership. You gotta put that hat on in these times. All right, well, let's get into move on to the ask. What is our ask of our wonderful podcast listeners this week?
Yeah, so it's a simple ask. It's follow us on LinkedIn. We are working on our social media game. I've been a little sick and out of the weeds, so I've not been posting as much as I should, but we've been on TikTok. I explained to Greg this morning that TikTok has been a little bit of a playground, and LinkedIn feels like the principal's office. So I've been a little bit hesitant to post my snarky leadership tips up on LinkedIn, but we're going to start doing that. The response on TikTok has been fascinating and interesting. So I'm interested to see how it does on LinkedIn. But yeah, just follow our company page on LinkedIn. Interact with us too. Like, I want to start inspiring more dialogue and conversations with folks, and that feels like a good place to do it.
Yeah, and we are, a hint of things to come. We are working on an event, I think, that allows us to do that on a
Yeah.
monthly basis. So
Yes,
that's going to be
sir.
exciting to talk about.
Cool. All right, let's get into the hit list. What's your first up? What are you reading?
So I'm laughing because I don't know if the title's probably going to, sound more heavy hitting than it is, but I came across a friend of mine reminded me of the magazine Adbusters,
Oh, yeah.
I think from the 90s, and I went there and they have this book called The Manifesto for World Revolution. And to our government minders, I'm not seeking to instigate a government or a world revolution, but this reminds me of college so much. And just like college newspapers, and the thing is laid out kind of a bit like a zine. So anyway,
Love it.
I was curious about the whole thing, and my copy arrived this week, so I've been paging through that.
Cool. Yeah, it looks like it's from the strategist who sparked Occupy Wall Street. Okay. There you go. All right, my first reading is actually like reading slash watching, and it's the town hall meeting where they talk about the merger of the Agile Alliance and PMI. So it's just interesting. Like, again, if you're in the project management world, this is huge. It's certainly huge for the Agile world. I don't know how the PMP feels as much about it, but I have lots of thoughts, and that's going to be part of my reaction post on Wednesday.
Nice. Look forward to that. So my next one is listening, and it's an album I kind of dig into every other year. But it is The King Is Dead by Enigma.
From
That's
the
actually
90s?
from the 90s. This the title is in French, but I looked it up and it's The King Is Dead, Long Live the King.
Interesting. Cool. That is that Enigma. That's the one with like chants and stuff like that, right? It's like
Yeah, and this is
melodic
music I
beats and
can put on
work
and
too.
just work
Yeah.
to.
Zone out too. Cool. Mine is not for listening. Mine is called Big Ideas by Remy Wolf. She's like a younger pop artist. It's like a little funky, a little soul, a little pop. It's really catchy and really good. I recommend it.
So because my wife was away this week, it meant that I, could just watch whatever I wanted. So I never finished the Silo series on Apple TV. And season one came out last fall. And I've been waiting to kind of binge watch that. So I made it through all of the entire season, some of season one and all of season two.
Nice.
It's good. It's really good.
Okay. So my last one is watching, and I'll say I was sick for like 2 full weeks. So I had a lot of time like not going to the gym, just like sitting on my butt watching TV. And the best thing I watched was a movie on Hulu called A Real Pain. And not only do I recommend this movie, I think this might be the best movie I've seen in a few years.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's written by Jesse Eisenberg, the guy who played Zuckerberg in the Facebook movie. He wrote it and directed it. And Kieran Culkin, who you probably know from Succession, is in the movie. They're like two cousins who go on a trip to Poland to see where their grandmother was born. And so they go on this kind of like heritage tour. They're Jewish. They do like all of the kind of like Holocaust. It's like very emotional. The acting is insanely good. Anyway, I'll stop talking about it because we have limited
This is
time,
what
but
you
like
were
you.
sick, and so this is what you watched.
Yes, and it's so good. I'm so glad that I watched it. It's
All
like
right.
it better win an Oscar.
Okay. I'm actually rooting for Dune 2, but go ahead.
All right, what are we high-fiving this week?
Right, I'm high-fiving that we've got another playbook that we've been working on, and I'm in the process of wrapping up the design. We spent a lot of work this week. Editing and changing up the copy, tightening it up. So it's really good. Like this
I'm
is a
excited about what we have. It's like we're planting our flag on why one-on-ones are important. We're incorporating stuff that we wrote in the past. And we also have, I think, some really useful tools for people who want to rethink the way that they're doing one-on-one meetings. So
Yeah.
I'm
And
stoked to
it's an
release it.
edited down version. Like we have more to say, but I just this one playbook, I'm really happy with it, where it's going, and I'm excited that when we launch it in next month,
Yeah.
it also will kick off some other events we've got planned as well. So high
Yes,
five.
sir. High five. All right.
But
We have a long episode today, so have a great weekend.
all right, have a good weekend.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the weekly high five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Ben and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the weekly high five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.